listening to Get Sports Radio.
It is episode 23, Fantasy Happy Hour, week number 3 edition. I'm your host, Dan Claskins, with you again here on a Friday afternoon. It is Friday, September the 22nd, 2017, and we are getting you ready as we do every Friday afternoon, looking ahead to the players we like more, the ones we like less, getting you caught up on all the injury news, the headlines you need to know about, and giving you some final takes as well. I'm happy to be with you. I'm happy to talk fantasy anytime. You can always hit me up on Twitter, at Dan Claskins. You want some guaranteed email advice, I got a service for that too, and get you those answers, help you set those lineups. You can, of course, hear me, see me all over the place, Saturday morning, SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, Fantastics, Insider Football, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, along with my good friend James Adams. You can also obviously get the podcast. This is our Friday afternoon podcast. I will be doing one weekly on Monday nights as well. GetSportsInfo.com, the home of that podcast. And you can also subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and SoundCloud as well. We really love those of you that are giving some feedback on email and on Twitter, and especially those of you leaving reviews, especially on iTunes and Stitcher. We've gotten one good one this week on each of those. So keep adding them. The more we get, the more we do. And if you actually take a picture of your review and email us at GetSportsInfo@gmail.com, the first 5 people to do that get our email coach service the rest of the season, a $15 value free, guaranteed answers from yours truly on all your lineup advice. Speaking of answers and lineup advice, this Sunday, for those of you that I do talk to on Twitter a lot, and I like talking fantasy too, not just lineup questions, just FYI on Twitter, but I just can't keep up with the volume, quite honestly. So I'm going to do the best I can. This Sunday morning, if you wait to the end, you're likely not going to get a response tweeting at Dan Claskins. That's because I'm going to be busy on the Pro Football Focus Fantasy Twitter account, PFF Fantasy, 11 a.m. to noon, answering every question that comes in. So if you want that advice during that time, that's the place to do that. And of course, check out my rankings at Pro Football Focus as well. All my articles. I have my stock watch report on Tuesdays, my fantasy trends articles on Wednesday throughout the season. You can get them there. And be sure to check out the PFF Edge and Elite packages. I've got links for those too under the fantasy tab at GetSportsInfo.com. You sign up through there, you can also get another way of getting that email coach service for free. So Get Sports Info, most of it is free there. You can obviously get the GSI cheat sheet for the 15 years it's been up. Some of the best free rankings out there. This is now authored by my guy James Rapine. He also puts out a Studs, Duds, and Sleepers report there. My office pool picks, if you like to play confidence pool, survivors, against the spread, all of that for you there. And you can also watch every week my segment here in Cincinnati on Fox 19 with Gary Sewell talking some fantasy football. Always good to do that. And you can check me out locally if you're in the Cincinnati area or watch anytime on Fox19.com every Friday morning, 7:50 a.m. Eastern. How about that game Thursday night last night? Wow. A lot different than the Thursday night debacle we watched last week between the Texans and the Bengals. This game had a combined 80 points in it. Offense galore. The Rams beating San Francisco on the road 41-39. I got to admit, I fell asleep towards the end, so I did not get to watch all of it as of yet, but the stats are impressive. Todd Gurley, he's coming out strong in this one, finishing with not just 28 carries for 113 yards and 2 scores on the ground, but Gurley added 5 catches, 36 yards, a touchdown through the air, a pair of 100-yard receivers in this game for the Rams. Robert Woods and Sammy Watkins both hitting that mark. Woods with 108, Watkins 106, each with 6 receptions. Watkins finds the end zone 2 times. And I'll tell you what, Robert Woods, nobody really saw that coming. Probably a guy you know, keep your eyes on in deeper leagues. Maybe he's worth a bench spot with bye weeks approaching. Sammy Watkins, definitely a guy capable of big plays. And the way that this offense is looking here, what a refreshing breather with Sean McVay instead of Jeff Fisher and his staff. And Jared Goff really coming of age here, 22 of 28, 292 yards, 3 touchdowns. He's looked solid on the season for sure. And a guy that in deeper leagues, even in redraft leagues, this guy's starting to get some value out there. On the other side of the ball, not bad fantasy numbers for Brian Hoyer, but it wasn't pretty at times. He was picked off. Had a few instances, sacked 4 times in this contest, but still threw for 332 yards, 2 touchdowns. Also ran in for a 9-yard rushing touchdown. Connected with Pierre Garçon, PPR gold last night. 7 catches, 142 yards. I'd like to see Marquise Goodwin get involved with 2 for 62. Still waiting for Kyle Juszczyk, to fullback, to get involved more in the passing game. Haven't seen that, but Carlos Hyde. 25 carries, 84 yards, 2 touchdowns. He added 3 catches for 10 yards, 28 total touches in the game, and it was a little nerve-wracking. I saw Hyde go out. Carlos Hyde on my shares report, 13 season-long leagues. I was definitely ahead of the expert consensus. Really took a beating on Twitter in July when I was proclaiming him as a low-end RB1, great value in round 4 and 5, which what he was going at that time. It's a little too early to toot my horn. One of the big concerns with Hyde is durability. We saw him go down in the first quarter. That was a bit of a scare with the hip issue that gave him some heat treatment. He was able to return both his touchdowns coming on 4th down. First time that's happened in a game since Michael Turner did it in 2010. But nonetheless, Carlos Hyde here, a guy that I still am very high on. I'm not patting my back or giving you any I told you so's yet. I've never doubted the ability. I'm excited to see what Kyle Shanahan has brought to this San Francisco running game with his play calling. And if Hyde can stay healthy, I have no doubt he'll finish right where I projected him to be as a top 10 fantasy running back. Let's continue along on some other stories. You know, that game was great. A good Thursday night football game setting up the slate for Sunday, which will include also our first London game. So let's be sure to get those lineups set early, 9:30 Eastern kickoff between the Ravens and the Jaguars on Sunday from London, and then a slew of 1 o'clock games, 3, 4 o'clock games, all on the Eastern Coast, so on Eastern time, I should say. So definitely an interesting slate indeed. And yeah, we're only 2 weeks in, and before last night's game, one of the articles in my trendsetter article there at Pro Football Focus, I took a look at one of the biggest glaring trends, and I don't know if you've noticed it as you're checking your live scoring and doing some of the different things potentially there, but the scoring has been down. I mean, you go and you look and you see field goals. I mean, games that are like 6-3 late second quarter. It's not just your players disappointing. Their entire offense is disappointing. And so I did a little research there. 31 games. This is before last night's game, which had 80 points in it. So some of these numbers are already skewed. But nonetheless, good data to share. In 31 games played so far in 2017, teams have scored 132 total touchdowns. That translates to 2.13 per game per team. At this point last year, it was 2.44 touchdowns per game per team, and it ended up at 2.55. But as you can see, we're about 0.8 of a touchdown beneath where we were last year. And if we were to stay on that pace, this would be the lowest scoring season in like 20 years. That's the current average of 40.3 points per game is the lowest figure the league has seen in the first 2 weeks of the season in 2 decades. So interesting there to note, and total yardage also down, falling off by more than 70 yards per outing off of last year's mark. The league average of 644.3 total yards per game is the lowest mark 2 weeks league-wide to start a season since 2010. Let's go on to some injury report. There are many injuries to talk about. We won't get to all of them on today's podcast, but some situations I'm watching. We have some clarity on some of this. Others, we're going to have to watch some of these West Coast teams still on the Friday reports as I record this, but Sam Bradford with the knee injury, looking good there. It was a bit of a disappointment to see him not able to play last week, but Bradford continuing to make progress, has participated in practice, and barring a setback, I really do expect to see him on the football field as the Vikings play host to Tampa Bay after a tough road outing for the offense in Pittsburgh last week. With Bradford likely back under center here, he's still being limited, so this is still not a given. We're going to want to keep our eyes on this. But I think even if it's at less than 100%, he'll be under center. I bumped back up the Vikings receivers and Kyle Rudolph and Devin Cook. They all get a little bump if Bradford's under center. There's no doubt about it. You'll want to continue to monitor this towards Sunday. He hasn't practiced yet this week, but Adam Gase, at least on Wednesday or Thursday, I don't know what's going to happen Friday with Jay Ajayi, but Adam Gase has said all week that, hey, this guy's good. He's going to be playing some football, and this is more of just basically controlling this, a maintenance type of situation. We all know about the much publicized Jay Ajayi knee issues. If he's an elite RB1 if he plays this week against the Jets, I mean, bottom line is, at this point, I don't really think there's anything to worry about for this week, but we're going to keep our eyes on that. Melvin Gordon, he was also added to the Chargers injury report on Thursday, getting in a limited session with a knee issue. Not always a good thing to see a player added in the report later in the week, so we'll want to keep our eyes on this one as well. Randall Cobb has yet to practice this week. He's looking down on the downside of playing in week 3 against the Bengals. His teammate Jordy Nelson, on the other hand, recovering nicely with his issue and has practiced, so I expect him back. Cobb could be a game time decision. Maybe he'll be ruled out earlier. We'll see. But they play at 4:25 Eastern at Lambeau Field. So Cobb, not a great starting option in most cases anyway, without buys. So not really too big of a deal. Rob Gronkowski says he's going to be okay. I've yet to see it. We'll keep our eyes on his situation with the groin. It's looking dicey for Jimmy Graham this week with an ankle issue, whether he'll be able to play for Seattle at Tennessee. And Tyler Eifert of the Bengals, back and knee issues already ruled out in week 3. You have the rookie Evan Engram dealing with a concussion. It looks like Jordan Reed's been putting in limited work. He's going to try to play through his injuries. Greg Olsen, of course, he had surgery. He's been placed on injured reserve, out for at least 8 more weeks, plus the bye coming off that. So tight end, a bit of a mess right now. A lot of low-end streamers out there. Jared Cook, a popular name this week. Ben Watson and Jack Doyle, all guys that could fill in a pinch. A couple of running back situations with some impact. We have Terrence West. He's coming back from an injury. And, you know, West is – he did practice on Friday over in London. Buck Allen probably going to carry this, but if West is back, I'll have to bump Buck Allen down a little bit from where I have him right now. I do expect West not to be much of a fantasy factor, even if he plays. Marlon Mack, also another running back. He didn't practice again on Friday with a shoulder remaining sidelined. He's looking like a long shot to play in the matchup versus the Browns. Rex Burkhead missed all practice this week. I expect Deion Lewis to be the number 3 back there in New England. And Rob Kelly, he did practice again on Friday with his rib issue. He's been able to practice all week, should play. So you'll want to bump Samaje Perine and probably even Chris Thompson down a little bit in your rankings. None of these Redskins running backs are really getting me all that excited, honestly, as we look ahead to the week. Let's finish up where we will every week on the podcast, this quick hitter edition. Players we like more, some we like less. This according to my rankings as I upload them to fantasypros.com. I put them up against their expert consensus ranking, which is a culmination of the over 150 experts out there. Had a tough start in my week 1. It wasn't the best opening week for me, I'm not going to lie. I finished outside the top 100, but I did bounce back in week 2, finishing 9th most accurate in week 2, and I'm hoping to improve upon that here. The players I like more, let's start at the quarterback position. And not a huge fan of Carson Palmer, but they really have nothing else without David Johnson. So I think the volume's going to be there. I got him at QB 13. That's 4 spots higher than his expert consensus ranking. If you're in a pinch at the quarterback position, maybe you're a guy with a struggling quarterback like a Marcus Mariota. I'm not suggesting dropping him to pick up Palmer, but if you can squeeze Palmer onto your bench, he might be a better option here in week 3. At running back 2, I like more. Duke Johnson, he continues to rise. And as long as Corey Coleman's out, I think Johnson's going to get more involved in that Browns passing attack. The Browns, uncharacteristically, a road favorite versus a Colts team that has struggled. They're getting a little healthier on defense, but I still got him at RB 27, even in standard leagues, much higher in PPR. That's 12 spots ahead of the ECR at fantasypros.com. And the other running back I like a little bit more is Alvin Kamara, RB 39. Low-end flex if you need him. I think he's an intriguing play in a deeper format, a huge upside. My spot of 39 is 5 spots ahead of the other experts at Fantasy Pros. And then I got Devontae Adams, 4 spots ahead, at wide receiver 12 on my board. Golden Tate, wide receiver 13, 6 spots ahead. 10 spots ahead of the expert consensus ranking as my wide receiver 38, Devin Funchess, loving him in that matchup against the Saints. And Danny Amendola, quietly returning from a concussion issue. I've got him in there, wide receiver 40. That's 12 spots higher than the expert consensus. And I'm even throwing in Kenny Britt. I'm not that high on him. Let's be clear. I've got him as my 50th ranked wideout this week, but that's 14 spots higher than the other experts. With Coleman out, I think he had a heart-to-heart with head coach Hugh Jackson this week in Cleveland. I'm really anxious to see what comes of it. Maybe Britt will actually show up and try to play this week. Should be interesting. And if you need a tight end, I talked about it earlier, don't really love Jarrett Cook all that much as a football player, rest assured. But I will say this, I love his matchup this week against a banged-up Redskins D that really struggling against the tight end right now. So Cook, 11 on my board at tight end this week in standard, and that's three spots higher than the others. Let's look at some players I like less now, and we'll start at quarterback Derek Carr. I got him as QB7, and this Raiders offense is pretty awesome, I'll admit. And the Redskins D doesn't scare me, but QB7 is still three spots less than others. They're just other quarterbacks I think I like a bit more this week, but not to say I'm going to bench Carr. I am benching Jameis Winston in most cases. He's my QB17. That's five spots lower than the other experts. And a tough matchup on the road at Minnesota. A defense that's a little pissed off for the way they came up and play against Pittsburgh. And I'm sure Coach Zimmer will have the boys fired up as they return home. At running back, Jaquizz Rodgers, he's outside my top 25 this week, RB26 to be exact. That's only three spots beneath the expert consensus, but for a lot of the same reasons, I don't like Winston. I don't like the small, undersized, less talented running back, Rodgers. I'm also a little down on Tarik Cohen. I've been down on Jordan Howard, but Cohen, a guy that maybe got a little too hyper last week. I mean, he's a flex play in any format. He's got a lot of upside, high ceiling in PPR, but he comes with risk, people. I've got him at RB32 in standard. That's 11 spots further than the other experts. So I think people are a little recency bias on that one. Maybe a little recency bias on this for me, but Brandon Cooks, I moved him down my board. I've been up and missing out on him in my top 10 receiver for the first 2 weeks of the season. I backed off a little bit this week. Wide receiver 17, minus 7 on that ECR. And in that same game on the other side of it, DeAndre Hopkins. Sure, the volume could get there to burn me, and I do got him as a wide receiver 23. So in most cases, I won't tell you to bench the guy. I'm just tempering my expectations a bit. Three career meetings versus the Patriots. You're talking about he's yet to get to five receptions, break 80 yards, or score a touchdown. Belichick knows how to take out the other team's best player. And as far as I'm concerned, Hopkins is the only player outside of Deshaun Watson capable of making plays in this offense. I look for him to get stymied once again. And Larry Fitzgerald, here's a guy. I've got him at wide receiver 26. Many are still putting him up in on the board. And, we're just going to have to see how all that goes with him. But if you look at, and I talked about this at Pro Football Focus recently in my fantasy trends, and just some things that, interesting to me, and players that have sort of struggled a little bit. And one of my, it actually was my stock watch report, and players falling down, sliding down, if you will, Larry Fitzgerald. And it was another week of disappointment for him last week. He finished with just three catches on six targets, 21 yards against the Colts in a matchup you figured he would dominate. He's tied for sixth in targets, 19 through 2 weeks, but only has turned that into nine catches, 95 yards, no touchdowns on the season. And you look at the numbers over a longer stretch, in his last 14 games, he's only broke 80 yards receiving once and scored just one touchdown in that span. So he's just a guy I can't get excited about. I've backed off Chris Hogan a little bit. I got him at wide receiver 37. The dude has a ceiling sky high, but with Amendola back in the mix, I don't know. He's just a risk-reward play. And I'm also backing off Hunter Henry. Did like to see him step up and get back on to life again in week two. But I got him outside my top 12. I've got him at 15 on my board, and that's three spots beneath the expert consensus ranking there. We're fresh out of time for today. A quick addition. We try to do these in 20 minutes or less. We do them on Monday. We do them on Thursday nights. You can always get them at GetSportsInfo.com. You can get all your weekly content there. Ranking stud duds and sleepers. My office pool picks. Catch all the videos with Fox 19. And check out the SoundCloud, because you can get my Mo Egger weekly segment here on ESPN 1530. You'll want to follow me on Twitter at Dan Klaskins. And be sure to subscribe if you like what you hear. You can do so on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Until next time around, I'm Dan Klaskins. Thanks again for listening to the Get Sports Info podcast.